As you saw, this... I have to push this. Of course, we don't call the building the church. We call ourselves the church. But aside from that, it's called the Church of the Holy Family. It began in 1882, so construction is still going on. So if you'll do a quick calculation, that's about 130 years it's been under construction. And still another 25, 30, 40, 50 years, who knows what it's going to take to complete the thing. The designer, Antonio Gaudi, had previous to this time been a secular designer, made a fortune in designing buildings, commercial buildings, entire living area structures, but always his passion was this passion of nature, designing around nature and how that looks. The building itself that he started here looks like this today. 8 of the 18 spires are up. As the man that introduced this said, the largest, tallest of the spires have yet to be built. The spire of Jesus Christ will be in the center of the thing. It'll be just about 600 feet tall, and a cross in front of the whole thing that will be about the same size, which will be visible from well out to sea. As he said, Gaudi was a devout Catholic, but he had this passion for architecture and building this. And so once he started this project, that was the last of his life's work. He entered that as a mission field. He never returned to the secular building. This, of course, is a picture we saw on the inside there. On the website, you can get a lot more pictures and see a lot more details of this. But you know, it's not, the whole sermon is not about this building. It's about you and me. Because as soon as I saw this and we went through this, I turned to Phyllis. You have any idea what I said? Don't you think you could have used his money a little more wisely, given to the poor? And I promise you, folks, it no more than had left my mouth till Scripture started entering my mind. In the first two that came up, one concerning the lady that barged in to Simon the leper's house and broke open this expensive bottle of perfume and bathed Jesus' head. The disciples all said, well, why didn't you sell the perfume and give it to the poor? Just what I said. And what did Jesus say? He said, don't bother. Leave her alone. She's doing something beautiful. Another time, just about like that, Mary anointed Jesus' feet with the expensive oil. Used the whole bottle. Then washed his feet with her hair. And once again, this time only one of the disciples is mentioned, Judas Iscariot. And he says, why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Jesus said again, leave her alone. It's none of your business. That's in fact what he's saying. This isn't any of your business. It has nothing to do with you. It's between her and me. And then I got to thinking real quickly about this. And Jesus quickly reminded the apostles, the soon-to-be apostles, the disciples, that what he had said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount was really a fact, that whoever is not against me is for me. And leave people alone. Stand out of their way. And whoever gives a cup of water. Now, a lot of times we take this wrong. We think, oh, I only have to do a small amount. It's not what it's saying. It's not saying anything at all about the size. It's talking about the motive of doing it. Finally, I thought this. Now, I freely admit this has to do with something completely different, but read the words. Read the words. The words stand. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? Had I not just done that? Of course I have. To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. The principle here is, anytime we judge other people's motives, anytime we judge their values, the merits of their work, we're on dangerous ground. We are on dangerous ground. There are times, certainly with false teachers, but we've got to be careful with a lot of things like that. And from my background, typically, I do dumb things like that, I guess. I step out. The question really is, where's my passion? Where's my passion? And have I put that passion into a mission? And a lot of times we look at other people and say their mission's wrong or their passion's wrong, but we haven't examined ours or what we're doing. When I talk about passion, I'm talking about something that gives you internal strong feeling. It's an intrinsic value to you. It can be tangible, it can be intangible, but something that for you has deep meaning. The mission is what you do. Okay? Gaudi's passion was the using nature in this architecture. His mission became the building. Now, one of these things could very easily be prayer. I just heard my brother Lanny up here give one of the sweetest prayers. I thought it was sweet because he included me, I guess. But I love Lanny, you know. I really do. Glenn, I love to hear your prayers, sir. I just love it when you get up here to pray. Some people have that ability to pray. That's really passionate. Here we read of a person, Epaphras. And I told the people in my class on Wednesday night I was going to use this. This is out of Colossians, and that's where we're studying right now. And I really liked the way this was worded. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends his greetings. He was from Colossae. And he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. I like that term, wrestling with in prayer. You know, that made me think real quickly of Abraham. That was my first thought. Abraham, when he wrestled with God in prayer, in his communication for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and his nephew there. It made me think of Moses when he wrestled with God over the children of Israel that had just committed spiritual fornication. It made me think of Jesus in the garden, where the prayer was such labor that he sweated as if great drops of blood. Passionate prayer. The ESV uses struggling. The King James Version uses laboring frequently. Of course, these have similar meanings, but I really like that the usage of that particular word there. How about giving? Giving can be quite passionate too. Joseph, we don't think of him as Joseph anymore. We think of him as Barnabas. And he was such a passionate man that they called him Son of Encouragement, which is what Barnabas means. Sold property, gave it, then continued. Went from place to place, encouraging and establishing churches, praising God. Out of Corinthians, we read about the Macedonian people. Now, read this carefully. What does it say that they did? They begged to be able to help. Their passion was giving, and they gave first of what? Themselves. How about our going? Here we read about Titius. Now, he was associated with Paul, and when he needed an errand to be run, that's what Titius did. Maybe Paul couldn't get away, and he wanted to find out about another church or let that church know how he was doing right there. He would send him, just like an angel, practically. He would send him and give the church at the other place a message of greeting and uplifting, and then he would find out how they're doing and come back and tell Paul. And that way, they felt closer together. And we read somewhere else that pure and undefiled religion is going. It's going. It's going to visit the widows, the orphans, the poor, the needy, the sick. That's what religion's all about. How about glorifying? You think of anything any more glorifying than Paul and Silas in prison singing songs? They probably look worse than I do right now. By the way, when I got up and looked at myself in the mirror and started shaving, this little scab was sticking straight out like a horn. I said, oh, thanks. That's good. My timing on going to the skin doctor probably wasn't the greatest, but yeah, that's that. Anyway, here they are. They're probably beaten. They've been beaten by the people. and they're propped up against the wall singing. And the other prisoners are looking at them like, what in the world's wrong with these guys? You know, here they are, they're half dead, and they're singing psalms. So what happens? There's an earthquake, all the doors fly open. What do you think they thought then? Maybe this works. And to be filled with the Spirit, like Tommy tries to get us to do. And his passions, you can see his passion. He's a passionate man. And I just really feel great singing with Tommy. But this isn't talking about the worship service itself. It's talking about every day. I've told you about the man in Walmart. You know, it's like dropping a quarter in a jukebox, man. You just walk up and you say, sing me a song about Jesus, and it comes out. He's a passionate man about that. And he makes everybody feel, you know, he makes other believers feel great. How about edifying or encouraging? Now, we went to the shower last night for Ian and Noel, and Doyle had provided his wood turnings again. And you know, long, long, long after the blankets are worn out, after the dishcloths have faded, after both of the can openers have quit, they'll look back. They may not remember Doyle's name, but they'll remember somebody cared. Somebody here cared for them. Those will last, and they'll be there. And there are various people. Joe Sanford was telling me Wednesday night. You know, Joe's passion is karaoke. I have a hard time to even remember that word, but let alone what it is. But he has taken his show on the road now. I don't know if you've heard about this or not. He takes his karaoke machine over to the old folks' home, and or to the wherever, you know. And he has them, and they love it. They love singing the songs. And they'll take the microphone and sing right out, he says. And he says, it's great. Now, think about doing that and at the same time glorifying Christ, glorifying God. Teaching. We need teachers constantly. I'll bet my class on Wednesday night wishes somebody else would take over for me for a while. You know, and I do enjoy doing it. I really, really enjoy teaching. And so don't get me wrong there. But we need teachers. We need other people that are passionate about other people knowing the Bible and knowing. And everyone can stand relief in this area. Writing. I've got a son-in-law, not this one. Another son-in-law. Randy Smith, my youngest daughter's husband. And you know that guy, you would not believe it from seeing him. He's a play-like cowboy, you know. He wears a hat and the boots and all this, and he likes to hunt and fish. He's particularly a big fisherman and all that. But you know what he really likes to do? He likes to sit down and write poetry. And he has a whole notebook full of this stuff. Well, one day, they live in Nashville there around all that music stuff. And so he found somebody that was willing to put some of those to music. And they're beautiful, aren't they? They're good. Now, I know in a congregation this size, there's somebody else hidden away in here. That's a rider. And you tell me how great it would be if we were singing their songs and glorifying God from the thoughts of this congregation. How great would that be? Wouldn't that be neat? Healing. We've got several healers in here that, and they go to different countries to exercise this skill that God and that God has given them, their practice. Linda here is wanting to join that crew, and she's busy on that. That's a passionate skill, one that can be used for the cause of Christ. Reading. You might not think that this is a big deal, but I walked in. My wife's cousin is over at a boarding home there in McMinnville. Walk in, and here's all these ladies sitting around another lady, and she's reading out of Kings, I think it was. Not one of the selections that I would pick, but she was doing it. I wasn't. And those ladies were sitting around just listening to her, and they enjoyed that. There's an immense number of things that we can do here. But we need this passion, we need the missions, and we need people to step up to the plate to do these things. And a lot of things are being done, even that, I've just touched. But put the passion and the love for God and for God's people. And who are those people? The ones that he died for. And who are they? Everyone you know. Everyone you know are the people that he died for. And we've got to love those folks. This is the end of the lesson, so to speak, today. Just a couple more words here. Do you know how important passion is? Have you thought about it? Well, God said in Revelations to the people of Laodicea, he says, your passion is such, you're just like a warm drink of water. You make me want to throw up. That's in fact what he's saying. Without passion, without this love, without the dedication and the drive, we're just like a drink of warm water. And I know Tommy tries very hard to get us to be passionate about our worship here. And that's important. But our passion needs to be every day toward God, every day towards his people, trying to serve them. Come forward and get people involved with God. Let them know where he is and he's available. Folks, this is the end. This is truly the end. If there's anyone that needs our prayers, if there's anyone that wants to begin work, if you need help in any way, we're here to help you. If you would, let's stand and sing the song that Tommy's picked out.